We have a right to live in total victory.
I'm holding in my hand, and you get a good shot of this, 7 ingredients of the prosperity formula.
Some of y'all be dialing that toll-free number right now to get one of those red blood of Jesus prayer handkerchiefs.
In my first book, Your Best Life Now, I presented 7 steps to living at your full potential.
If you take time to tithe the tithe correctly, it's impossible to go to hell.
What are you waiting for? Dial that number now.
I'm telling you, the only way you're going to get hooked up to healing is through the tithe.
Now, in Become a Better You, I will reveal to you 7 keys that you can use to unlock those seeds of greatness.
What the heck are you thinking?
You make disciples, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me daily. This is not mamby-pamby theology. It's Jesus theology. Which one do you want? Which one's being taught in your church? If you cannot think how you are being equipped for the work of service and the building of the body of Christ, then what are you doing at a church that's not doing what's commanded by Scripture to do?
All right, everybody. How are you doing? Faith and Reason time. I am your host, Matt Slick. That's right. And maybe got a good day for you. Listen up. Now, hey, guess what? Today is Carm's 16th anniversary. Today. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. You can say, yay. You can call up if you want and say, this is how Carm has helped me. And whatever you want to say, I'd love to hear from you. But now, look, before I get into that and explain how Carm got started, maybe read some heresy, I want to talk about something I did today with a bunch of other Christians today at Boise State University. We passed out the 180 DVD, 33 minutes that will rock your world. Now, I've known about this for weeks, and the instructions were don't say anything. We didn't say anything. It was all by word of mouth. I didn't say anything over the radio. What we did today is we converged at BSU, Boise State University. We passed out about 3,000 of these things. Now, people would walk by, and we'd say, hey, you want a documentary? It's free. And they say, what's it about? It is about the Holocaust that started in Germany and talking about the Holocaust today here in America. Okay, I'll take one. And they'd go on. Some would say, what Holocaust today? I'd say, well, abortion. Oh, man, you're full of blah, 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 blah. You know, they'd leave. And so that happened a lot. And we got a lot of them out. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple stories. So this guy comes up to me. And he's got a shirt, God and Country. His shirt says God and Country, his jacket actually, God and Country. All right, that's great. I said, oh, God and Country. He goes, yeah. He goes, what's this video about? And I told him, anti-abortion. Well, he started swearing at me. Now, and then he used the Lord's name in vain. And as he turns around, I said, man, don't use the Lord's name in vain. He just kept walking. Another time, I'm sitting there, I'm filming. I got my camera out, and, you know, I'm filming a couple of buddies doing this, passing out some stuff. I want to send the video up to a friend of mine. He'll put something together. We'll put it up on YouTube, maybe. But at any rate, I'm filming. This guy's walking towards me, and he's texting and looking at me. And the whole sidewalk, he bumps into my left arm. He goes, sorry, as he keeps going. I'm like, yeah, right. So, got that. We had people giving the videos back, people cussing at us, saying some bad things. For the most part, you know what? The people there were really cool. Seriously. Most of the students there, no, thank you. And I said, okay, no thanks, you know. And everything was good. And a lot of them would take it. And, okay, I'll look at it. It was really great, you know. So, a lot of good comments, mostly from people and stuff like that. And people would be walking. You know, I try to, you know, have fun. You know, they'd be walking. They'd be texting. And I'd say, hey, don't you know that walking and texting is a leading cause of tripping? And, you know, they would, and they'd laugh, keep going. People would come by on bikes at 40 miles an hour, and I would just hold the video out, and, like, you know, it's an Olympic, you know, decathlon thing, and boom, they'd take it and keep going. Stuff like that. Teachers, you know, would not take them, things like that. Most of the students did. We passed out a lot. Sean, man, Sean, well, way to go. I don't know if Sean's listening. He kind of headed it up. He's working with Living Waters. If you're curious about this, the 180 video, if you want a hard copy, you can contact Carm. We can send you one out for free. All right. But if you want to watch it on YouTube, just I don't know where it is, but just 180 video, 180 video, you'll find it. It's out there. And it's about, you know, it opens up with Hitler, you know, Ray Comfort interviewing people about Hitler. Well, I don't know who Hitler is. Do you know who Hitler was? Wasn't he some movie star or something? You know, it just stuff like that. And then it moves on, shows the videos and shows the Holocaust, what they were doing. It moves into the issue of the abortion. Now, one girl I was talking to, she said, you know, that's dishonest what you're doing. I said, no, you ask, we're going to tell you. We're not being dishonest. And this one girl said, well, that's right. A woman has a right to choose. And I say, well, it's, you know, to choose to kill the baby. It's not a baby. Well, wait a minute. I said, it's got human parents, human mom, human dad, human genetics, and it's alive. Well, what is it? She said, well, it's just partly human. What? You know, she says it's partial human. You know, it's part human. I think that's what she said. I'm like, it's part human? Well, what's the other part? You know, it was just serious. I had several conversations. Let me tell you, I'm going to say this. I know maybe some people out there listening from BSU today, but I'm going to say this. In order to believe in abortion, you have to take your brain and put it on the shelf. And then believe in abortion. Because if you think the issue's through, you're not going to believe in it. I mean, think about it. For one thing, a human mom, a human dad come together, they copulate, blah, blah, blah. Egg and sperm come together, fertilization. What is it? It's not human. Okay, what is it? I don't know, but it's not human. What is it? It's potential human. What's potential human? Well, it's not human. Well, what is it? I don't know what it is. I just know what it isn't. Well, how do you know what it isn't if you don't know what it is? Come on, what is it? And I ask people, hey, can we put it in the, take this fertilized egg and put it in the womb of a dog? Why not? If it's not human, that would be wrong. Why? Well, because it has potential humanity. What? But if it's not human, why wouldn't you watch that? I mean, why would you do it? Why not? Why wouldn't you do that? Well, it's not right. Why is it not right? Because I don't know how I'm thinking and I don't know what to say, so it's not right. They walk away, you know, that kind of thing. You know, it's like, well, when does it become human? 12 weeks or whatever. What happens that changes its nature from non-human to human? So you're talking human life comes out of non-human life? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you drive? Yeah, I drive. Do you vote? Yeah, oh, I vote. Yeah, oh, yeah. You know, it's ridiculous. It is just ridiculous. So we passed out the video. We're trying to save lives, people. Trying to get people educated. That they're killing humans. You know, we men got to stand up and protect the innocent, not get women pregnant and have them pay the price, as well as the children pay the price, of our lusts and passions. Men, don't just be male, be men. Come on, stand up, do what's right. Protect women, don't use them. They don't care, do they? Hey, if you want to call 877-207-2276, and we'll get to this caller. Maybe I'll talk about how CARM got started. Because today is the 16th anniversary of CARM, the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, CARM.org. Let's get to Michael from California. Michael, welcome to the show.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry.
Yay.
Happy birthday to you.
Woohoo. All right. Hey, that was pretty good.
Not too bad, I guess. Actually, after I make my comment on the 180 DVD, we can hang up and you can talk about how CARM got started. You can keep me on the phone either way.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I already saw the 180 DVD,
mm-hmm.
and I think it presents the subject matter at a level that's necessary for it to hit home.
Yes, it does.
It just gets down to the nuts and bolts and doesn't pull any punches. And, you know, before I got saved, I was one of these, well, you know, it's the woman's choice and all this kind of stuff because there's issues about, well, you know, who's going to take care of it and that takes money and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, after I got saved and I looked more into it and, you know, I myself did a 180 mm-hmm. on the whole subject.
That's a whole idea.
And one thing that I don't think people realize that, you know, they say, well, it's unfair to, compared to a Holocaust and this and that and the other thing. There's a huge difference between the people that died in the Holocaust and the people that died through abortion. And that is, the people who died in the Holocaust had a choice to fight or not.
Yep.
And the little person in the womb doesn't have that
choice.
Right.
They're being killed, and when there's no law that they've broken, human life being killed without a lawful reason that they've broken that's worthy of capital punishment, we call that murder. It's unlawful killing. And,
right.
You know, the other side of this whole coin is that the women who've done this need to have forgiveness in Jesus. And I'm not saying, like, you know, beat it over the head with a Bible, you need Jesus. No. I mean, I know. I mean, I've told this over the air before, but I got a girl pregnant. She had an abortion when I was younger. And I know from that perspective, I know. And I know that forgiveness is in Christ, and we can receive that forgiveness. And it's a wonderful thing. So, you know.
Yeah, and it just, you know, people, it even goes back to the issue of, when does life begin? You know, does it begin when you can see fingers?
Does it
begin when you can see fingers? Does it begin when you can see a heartbeat? You know, and
wrong
I think
question.
That video, no, I'm just saying, I think that video brings that point home very well as well.
Yeah, well, life doesn't begin at conception. It's a common misnomer. It does not begin at conception. It continues.
I think I know where you're going with that. Expand on that.
It continues at conception. See, the egg and the sperm are both alive. They come together, and life continues. It doesn't begin at conception. Because otherwise we have life from non-life. So if life begins, then we have billions of lives forming from non-life. That's not the case. Life comes only from life. And so the egg and the sperm are both alive. Life continues at conception. That's all that happens. Okay.
That's true. I mean, you can even make that argument for cloning and test tube babies, too, because the necessary and what's the term you use for necessary and...
Necessary and sufficient conditions.
Necessary and sufficient conditions has to be alive even to grow them in a test tube.
That's right. It's got to have life there. We can't create life. And we don't create life. We come together, man and wife, copulate. There's fertilization.
Right.
Life is continuing. That's what
never
it is.
Never thought about that way.
That's what it is. So, okay.
All right. So tell us about CARM.
Well, you hang up, and I'm going to get going because I'll just feel free to kind of like just let loose, okay?
All right, cool, man. God bless.
I'll tell how it is. Okay, buddy. We'll see you, man. God bless.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Now, today is the 16th anniversary of CARM. Now, if you're not sure what CARM is, it's the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. Now, this is how it happened. Okay, look. So I graduated from seminary in 1991. And I have my Master's of Divinity from Westminster Theological Seminary. Now, before that time, I'd already been studying the cults. I'd already been doing years' worth of apologetics. Back in 1980, I started studying. And I started doing stuff like a swap meet ministry. In fact, in the chat room, one of the guys that did this with me, named Spastic, he's in there, he and I started the swap meet ministry back in 1980. And we did it for a while and did other things. I did door-to-door evangelism. I got some interesting stories with him about some stuff. And, you know, just working and doing stuff for the Lord. And so I end up going to college, end up going to seminary, graduate with my Master's of Divinity, and I go through the hoop jumping. You know, because when you're Reformed, and I'm Reformed, and when you're Reformed, I got to be a Presbyterian, go to a Presbyterian denomination, and I join the PCA, Presbyterian Church in America. Great group. And I go through all the hoops and the jumps. Takes like a year to go through this internship, this and that. I get called to be an assistant pastor at one church, and then I eventually get called to be a senior pastor at another church. It's a small church plant, a senior pastor in Southern California at a small church in PCA. So I'm there at the church, and I'm now their senior pastor, and I'm preaching on Sundays and doing Bible study on Wednesdays. And what happened was, I said, the charismatic gifts, et cetera, et cetera. Some people believe they're for today. Some people don't. Make up your own mind. Study it for yourself. They didn't like that view. The church didn't like that view. The official doctrine was they've ceased. No more. Well, I'm not going to get into a lot of details, but let's just say that it caused a bit of a ruckus. And I said, well, wait a minute, you know, it's just a position that I take that you make up your own mind in these things, because it might be a denominational view in some areas, but we need to stick with what the scripture says above everything else. Long story short, I ended up losing that pastorate over that issue. Doesn't mean I sinned, doesn't mean anybody did anything wrong. It was just a confessional issue. They had a confessional statement, and they said, you got to adhere to this, and I didn't in that one area, and they said, you can't be our pastor anymore. Okay, well, that's just the way it goes. You know, godly people, and they're trying to be good. And I was absolutely dumbfounded, because I did 4 years of college, 3 years of seminary, 2 years of internship work. That's 9 years of work. 9 years. But let me tell you, there were some real trials during that time, because all of a sudden I'm without a pastorate and I don't have any secular experience in order to get a job. How am I going to feed my wife and my baby? I got one child at the time. How am I going to do this? I don't know how I'm going to do this. Got a little baby. It's basically still in diapers kind of age, you know, maybe just out that kind of young age, you know, 1, 2, 3 years old. And I'm just praying and I'm just trusting God. And I'm 100 miles north of San Diego when this happened, when I was living. And long story short, I had to end up moving back to San Diego. My wife had to stay there where we were in Ontario, California. And I didn't have any job, but I ended up getting a job. A friend who owned a company kind of basically invented a job for me, paid me, you know, just enough to survive. And I didn't even have a car. My wife had the car. And so I was living at some friend's house that we knew down in the San Diego area, and I used their bike. And here I am, I mean, you know, like 37, 35, whatever it is, years old, 35 years old, and I'm biking to work a couple of miles from the house, making my own lunch, the whole bit. I barely had enough money to pay them enough food money. And I was supposed to pay them rent, and they never collected anything. They said, don't worry about it. Because I was struggling. Seriously, just trying to get back on my feet, because I couldn't go in that denomination. I had to go another denomination. But that would take another 2 years of internship and work. So I got a job just working and doing whatever I could to survive and pay the bills. After a few months of this, my wife was able to move down, and I had enough money saved up that we could get an apartment. And so she moved down, and we got an apartment together, and you know, my wife and my daughter and I, and we moved in this one apartment. And I was able by then to get a car. Well, some friends of ours basically gave us a car that, and I don't mean disrespect, it wasn't the best, but it worked. It worked, you know, and so I was just thankful that I had this beat up old car that would get me to work and back. You know, and the Lord's providing. I mean, we had times where it was struggling. We were struggling where we had no money. We had no money, and they'd raise the rent. I mean, we had no money, and we had just a couple days of food in the fridge and in the cabinet. And so, you know, my mom and dad lived around the area, and they'd come over and visit, and they'd say, how things going? And I'd just tell them, well, we're out of food. And they'd say, okay, don't worry about it. And they'd go get us some groceries and bring it back to us. You know, I didn't like having to do that, but that's what you got to do sometimes, you know. Mom and dad, in your 30s, you're married, you got to, okay, and you're working. I mean, now I had another job, and I'm working full time. Another job, you know, and I'm learning Excel, I'm learning office stuff, learning a little bit about computers, and I'm just trying to survive. Just trying to survive, that's it. And friends would come over, and we'd have little bitty parties. They kind of figured out what we were doing. We'd have a little, hey, let's have everybody come over. We'll have a little barbecue, a little bitty hibachi kind of a thing. Not much of a barbecue. We'd save enough money to buy a $30 barbecue. And they'd come over and bring stuff, and they would all leave it. So we would have enough food for another week. I mean, we did this, okay? I mean, it's what you do to survive. And people knew, and it's just what you do, you know. Wasn't being lazy, and I was working this job. Okay, so here we go, right? We're doing all this stuff. And my wife says to me, so what's this thing called the internet? And this is 1995. What's this thing called the internet? I said, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the internet is. So I got to find out about it, you know? I mean, I didn't know how to find out about it. I hear it on the news, you know, the internet. I'm like, what is this? I don't know. So I had a little computer. It's wasn't much by today's standards, but it was just, a computer. I was able to do stuff. And I was on, at that time, I was on BBSs, a bulletin board system. It was the precursor to the internet. You could dial in, and you get in there, and you'd be able to make a post, and then you'd come back a day later and see if anybody responded. And that's right, Spaz. And so in the chat room. And so, we're just whatever. And so I knew a little bit about computers and getting online, but it wasn't the internet. It was a bulletin board system. I guess you could call it the early stage of the internet. Anyway, so she says, what's this thing called the internet? I don't know. But I tried to figure it out. I see what the internet's supposed to be. So what I did was I said to my wife, hun, she looks at me, yeah, you mind if I get on the internet? Now, the reason I had to ask her was because we had this rule, especially back then. If we're going to spend any money, we had to okay it with each other. Literally, if she's going to buy a dress, we had to talk about it first because we didn't have the money. It'd be, we got $15. If you go to a used place and get a used dress, okay, if you whatever you got, $15 is what we've got. I mean, it was like that for a long time, and I had two pairs of jeans, two pairs of shoes, and about 10 shirts. And that's what I had as clothing and a couple of jackets. Seriously, that was it for like 2 or 3 years. And, no complaints. That's just what you do. And we're just surviving. And so, we don't have any savings. And I said, well, can we, get online? And she's, she knows me. I'm like, hon, it's computers. It's internet. I want to get on. Okay. And the deal was 2 months. I'd be on for just 2 months. Okay. And so I sat there and I had to learn how to download a browser, which was Netscape at the time. And so I got the Netscape browser and I dial up, and get online and, go cruise around. And I remember, I go, look at this. People, there's atheism stuff there. I go, well, that's not good. The Mormons were writing stuff. Well, what did they say? That's not what Christianity is. And people would say something, well, the Bible's wrong because that's not true. Oh, man, I got to refute this. I got to deal with this. This isn't right. I'd go on these little discussion boards and I would put the same argument 100 times. And I'm like, nah, come on. I thought, I wonder if I could make my own website where I could just put these articles up. Maybe I could do that. So I sat there and I thought, okay, maybe I could do that really fast. And I didn't know what to do. So I downloaded HTML guides, hypertext markup language. That's what it is. How to make a web page. And so I sat there and I, okay, let's see. But what am I going to call this? Christian Research Apologetics people? CRAP? That's not going to be a good acronym. And so, I came up with these different things. So I didn't know what to call it. I had no clue. And it wasn't a big deal. I thought, well, Christian Research Apologetics Ministry, that's CRAM. Nah, that's not going to work. And I went, hey, wait a minute, CARM, C-A-R-M, Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. I'll do that. CARM. And then, so I just, I didn't have to call it. I just did. And then I learned how to make a web page, basically a white page with some links on it. It was pretty embarrassingly bad. And I'm putting stuff articles up, and I'm doing some other articles. The 2 months is coming up, though. 2 months. And I'm like, I get this stuff up there, and I'm looking at my wife. I'm really liking doing this. And she's looking at me knowing I'm going to be bugging her. Can we stay on a little bit longer? Because we had to agree where our money went. And it was like $6 a month. She goes, okay, let's try for a little longer. Says, okay, good, because she'd get a dress. You get a dress, so I get on the internet a little bit, and stuff like that. We're talking the bare essentials of stuff, just trying to make it. So I put up a counter. Remember this, I put a counter up on the website. And I come out to my wife, and I go, hey, Neek, guess how many times the site was accessed today? She says, how many? I said, 72 times. 72 times the articles were looked at. I put this counter up, if I had to do that. Look at that, 72. I'm moonwalking, doing the, hey, look at me, woo-hoo-hoo. 72 times. 72. I was jacked. I can still see that number on the screen. I can still see it. 72 times. And she's like, you're hooked, aren't you? What makes you say that? So she said, oh, you know, let's allocate, I think it was $10 a month or 11 by then or something like that for internet time. You know, we had one phone line and, you know, hey, hon, can I, you know, can you get off the phone so I can get on the internet and check everything? You know, it'd be like that. And it's fast. Somebody in the chat room says something. He says, I remember when you mastered the HTML stuff and tried to show it to me on a napkin. You said, look, it's easy. And then my eyes began to bleed. It really is easy, though. So anyway, so I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm putting more articles up. And I realized, wait a minute, you know, I've got this dictionary put together. And then someone asked me to get this. Someone asked me to do a class at a church on Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses on Sunday. I said, sure, you know, I can do that. I can teach about it. And so I thought, oh, I got to give them something, a handout. So, you know, I have a lot of files from college and seminary and Bible studies I've been teaching, a little bit on the BBS and stuff. So I had a lot of material I'd written over the years. And it was just sitting there because I was able to convert it from different forms to the thing, because, you know, the old Apple computers, and you could put it in DOS, and you could put it in various things, so I'd kept floppy disks from stuff, and, you know, I had a computer. Anyway, so I had a lot of stuff, and so I thought, I'm going to print this stuff up, and I was using WordPerfect, and so I put it all in WordPerfect, and I paginated it, and made a little index and table of contents, like, woohoo, this is cool, and, you know, I print them up, but I thought, oh, I can't, you know, give them away, because it's costing like $8 to print each one up. And so what I did was I took them to a place and I had them printed up, and we had like $50 and I had a few printed up, and I took them to the Bible study thing at the church, and I said, look, here these are. I was hoping people might want to buy them, and I actually put like $2 on it. You know, I could sell a couple of more, you know, get a couple more and make a couple dollars on it or something. And they went in like 5 minutes. I'm like, whoa, that's weird. 5 minutes. So what I did was, I thought, oh, you know, I could add to this. I made this thing 100 pages long. And I went to the church. I started selling for a little bit more because it kept making it bigger. It became a thing, you know, and people wanting them. I want more, another one. Next thing you know, I got this finished work. I'm thinking, maybe I could sell it on this CARM website I've got. So I put up a link and put up a thing. If you want one, just mail a check to this address. We had a P.O. box by that time, pretty cheap back then. And just send us a check for, you know, I think it was $20. And it cost, by then, with everything, I think we made $5. I think, or no, I sold it for 18. And I don't remember now. I sold it for 18, and it cost, with everything, printing and postage and envelope and everything, you know, packaging up, it cost 15, so we made $3. Okay, $3. I wasn't in it for the money, you know, I mean, but now we're starting to get orders. We're getting a few orders. We get like 2 a week. And so now I'm being a guest preacher now. I'm in San Diego area, and people are saying, hey, Matt, could you come preach here? Hey, Matt, could you come preach there? Hey, Matt, could you come preach there? This one Chinese church, an ABC church, would have me come out and preach. And I'd drive an hour and a half to get there. And they found out what I was doing and, you know, trying to make ends meet. And they would have me preach. And they would pay me to preach, but they'd pay me double what they'd normally pay anybody else. They were just great folks. That enabled me to pay some bills and actually get food and actually put gas in my car and stuff like that. You know, we're struggling. I mean, I'm working at Sony part-time, full-time, but as a part-time position, but for working full-time, I'm making a whole bunch. Then I got a dollar raise, like, whoa, I got a dollar raise, you know. And so, hey, I'm starting to make it a little bit. I'm starting to, you know, we had like 2 or 3 years of just, you know, we can't do anything. And I had this 14 or 15-inch TV or something like that. I don't remember. And we got a 19-inch TV. Oh, and it was color. Oh, wow. We were living large. It was awesome. Now we got 2 kids and stuff. And, you know, we're just trusting God. And things are working. So, excuse me. So I'm guest preaching at this church. And people are asking me what I do. And I told them about this website called CARM. And by then, I got a domain name. And CARM.com was taken, so I went CARM.org. And so now I'm designing, making it a little bit bigger and better, and I'm preaching, and people are telling me, hey, yeah, go to this website. And now it's getting a couple hundred hits a day, a couple 500 hits a day and things like that, 1,000 and 2,000 a day. People are starting to come in. So I'm at this church, right, and this guy named Ken comes up to me. Ken Marcus. This guy's great. He saved me so many times. He had a printing shop. And he said, hey, Matt, I know that you're printing these little things up that you're selling on the internet. Why don't you give it to me? Give me the file, and I'll print it up for you on my spare paper, and I'll give it to you at cost. And I thought, wow. Because he said, look, I've got paper that's different thicknesses, different bonds, different this, and there's like from jobs that'll be done. And what I do with the paper is I really can't do much with it. He said, I'll tell you what. You give me the file. I'll print it up on different kinds of paper, but they'll all look, each book will have the same kind of paper. So it'll look good. I says, oh, that'd be great. He says, and it costs. I said, awesome. He said, how many would you like? And I said, well, how much would it be for each one? He told me how much. And I said, well, you know, how about, you know, I forgot the number I said. You know, this many of them, we don't have much money. He goes, okay, no problem. So he takes a file and he ships it to me. He has them shipped to me. I get this box delivered to my door. And because he said he's going to send me the invoice in the box. I'm on the phone with him. I says, okay, however many. He goes, okay. I sent you some. I said, okay, great. I get the box. I open it up. There's 100 of them in there. I don't remember how many I asked, but I think it was more than what I asked. But anyway, 100 of them. And they were shrink-wrapped. And I'm looking for the invoice. I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be expensive. And there's no invoice. And I call him up. Ken, thank you so much for doing this. You are awesome. But you didn't bring the invoice in there to bill. I mean, I gotta pay it. He said, I didn't put the invoice in there? I said, no. He said, well, I'll tell you what. Don't worry about it this time. This is for the Lord. It's free. It's on me. Don't worry about it. I said, look, are you sure? Because we want the invoice. We're going to pay you out of what we get. I said, don't worry about it. He goes, no, don't you worry about it. It's from the Lord. I said, okay. I said, you sure? He says, yeah, don't worry about it. I said, all right. But I said, next time, make sure that bill's in there. Okay? He goes, no problem. So we'd get a check in the mail. They want one of these notebooks. So we sold them for 20, I think, at the time, or 20, maybe by that time, or 20, I don't know, 18 or 20. And it only cost us $2 or $3. We'd make like $15. That was extra money. I remember, literally, we'd get a check in the mail for $20 for one of these notebooks. And that would be $10 for food, maybe $7 or $8, $10, whatever it would be, you know, the other part, for gas. You know, 10 for gas, 10 for food. We would put it in the tank, we'd get some food. And that's how it'd get to work and back, and she'd go out and get pasta. My wife would get pasta, right? She'd have enough money to go, you know. It was like this. There were times when we had nothing. We had nothing. And a notebook check would come in, we'd mail that out, and because of it, we had that $20. Because Ken didn't charge us, we had that money. Instead of having to pay him the difference and maybe only having $7, we had like, you know, a lot more. I can't tell you how many times we'd be down to nothing and we'd get a check in the mail for $20 for one of those notebooks. And we had 100 of these notebooks. 100 of them. And it took months for us to go through them all. And so we were able to, you know, I said, Ken, you know, we saved some of the money so we could pay him for the invoice the next time. I said, Ken, man, we need some more. He says, okay, no problem. I got some spare paper. A couple, 3-4 days later, there's a box delivered. I open it up. I call him up. Ken, where's the invoice? Because I didn't put an invoice in there. That's how it went for years. I'd call him up and I'd say, Ken, please put the invoice in there. He said, don't worry about it. It went on like this. And because of what Ken did, because of what that guy did, I was able to feed my family. We had to pay the rent. We had to pay insurance for the car. We had to pay whatever bills we had. You know how it gets. But that was the money that we would have to use for food a lot of times because of Ken and his graciousness. That's how it was. And eventually, more things started coming in, and donations started coming in. I was putting more stuff up. And I remember laying in bed with my wife one night after 3 or 4 years of this, thinking, I wonder if I could do this full time. And I tried. I'm going to tell you something. I would work hard, and I'd come home, and I do karm. And I'm going to tell you right up, what the fact is. I spent too much time on karm, and my family suffered. I made mistakes. We made a lot of mistakes in karm in the early days. I did. I wouldn't do it the same if I had to do it again. Spend more time with my family. It wasn't like I didn't spend any time with them, but, you know, you got to spend more time with them. And I blew it. And so my wife, to her credit, was supportive and knew that I was called to do this. It was obvious. I could tell you stories. I mean, they're just things how the Lord would provide, like Ken. And then, you know, we have these little issues where someone else would pay for this, someone else would pay for that because they liked what I was doing. I started keeping records of the page views. Someone would access the site. Last week, the page view average was 48,000 page views average a day. I remember the first time I put a counter up on the Karn website, 72 in one day. Now we're averaging about 48,000 by God's grace. 48,000 a day. That's how many times a web page on Karm is clicked and accessed. We have minimum 25,000 visitors a day to the site. I mean, people come in, they go in, they look, they're all over the place. By God's grace. We have it in Spanish. We have it with a lot of stuff in French, Indonesian, German, Chinese. That's it. We have a lot more going on. I mean, there's so much going on. Now we have the forums. What Ken, the same guy who's a printer, he actually gave up his printing job. He sold it, and guess what he went into after that? Web hosting. Website hosting. He then started hosting the Karm site for free, and he put up the forums for free. Well, that means I had to start paying for when I get the things printed up, the notebooks printed up. Well, guess what happened? A guy named Alan comes along, retired airline pilot, and he starts saying, hey, tell you what, I'll cover the cost of these. Now we're selling the thing called the Moan, the mother of all notebook, 1,125 pages. This notebook is huge now. And he'd cover the cost as a gift. People would come along and do stuff like this. And this is why Karm was able to survive. Because at critical times, people would step in and help out financially so that I could pay the bills and continue in the ministry, continue it along. People saw they had value in it. Well, now the Karm forums get about 25,000 page views a day on their own. Karm website, a proper, gets about 48,000. So we're talking about 70,000 page views a day the entire site is getting with everything going on. 70,000 a day. You type in my name or you type in some article. Like, go do this on Karm. I mean, go to Google and type in is Mormonism Christian, for example. Karm is the number one article that comes up. How about that? Type in stuff about Mary, Catholicism, atheism. Karm is there near the top, usually. By God's grace, it's happened. We've got a guy in Oregon now, Ken, another Ken, different Ken. And the guy, you know, he's not working for me. He's working for the Lord, and Karm happens to be the vehicle. And he's doing the sales and raising money for us and getting advertising on the site so that we can get, hopefully, an office, start doing videos. We're doing a lot of stuff. We're doing research projects, writing books. We got so many ideas. I can't even tell them all to you. There's just so many. We got a guy now in Ohio who just come on board. He's working with us. He's now redesigning the Karm website. So maybe in 2 or 3 months, Karm might have a new look with a whole bunch of new bells and whistles. We now have enough money to pay someone to do that. Several thousand dollars to get that done. We got people who are giving us hundreds of dollars a month regularly for this ministry. I've got a wish list on Amazon. You can go to the Amazon wish list thing and you can just type in the Amazon. I think we have it on the Karm website too, in the homepage, the right-hand side. And today in the mail, out of the Karm wish list on Amazon. What that is wish I had this. Don't have all the money to get it. Wish I had this. And people, they love Karm. They'll buy it on their own and send it to Karm. Send it to here. Today, I got an $800 teleprompter in the mail, which means I can set up videos, put the teleprompter up, and start doing it the right way. We got a camera that we have up there, hoping that people will, you know, get a camera so we can have a much better camera so that we can do even better videos. We got stuff for computers that we need. People just do this. People are helping out so much. The computer that I use now, I built because I know how to build computers from the ground up. I'm going to tell you, it is hardcore, gnarly, powerful. I have two 24-inch monitors. I'll have 20 programs open all the time. I can flip back and forth with two 24-inch monitors. I want three. I want four, actually. That's how many programs I usually have open. I work for 6 straight hours on the website doing articles. I just released the Dictionary of Philosophy yesterday. Hundreds of words defined. Got Dictionary of Philosophy, Dictionary of Theology, Dictionary of Science. We're prepping for things that we've got plans for the future. We're prepping. We're doing stuff. Ransom, man. Hey, if you got some suggestions of what looks good, let us know. And, you know, I'm telling people, because Ransom in the chat room is saying, yeah, Karma needs a makeover. Yeah, it does. It's functional, but it needs to look better. It needs to. We've got people working. We got tech guys here and there. We got people somewhere. I'm going to tell you about Diane. Diane has been a woman who's helped me for about 13, maybe 14 years. She runs the forums in the chat room, and she is awesome. She does so many good things. She's called by God to do what she's doing, helping out with this ministry. We've got people who are sacrificing to help out. It is an awesome effort by God's grace. You know, I feel that I am one of the most privileged people on the planet because, first of all, I get to speak of God. And second, I love doing it. Third, He's given me the ability to do it, and I'm able to feed my family and help others by God's grace, doing what I love to do. I love doing Karm. Love it. I am made for it. If I were to sit here and tell you how God prepped me with learning how to write in college, learning computers at HP, learning software at Sony, learning how to think these ways and do these things with computers and doing stuff before the internet was there, in order to get it all in place, because it could not have taken off and been what it is without me doing and knowing what I had to know. Let me tell you, the day I lost my pastorate, I was confused. Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? I don't know. I don't understand. I don't get it. I've sought to serve you, Lord. I've sacrificed. My wife has sacrificed. It was, we went to college, went to seminary. We're in debt still, $25,000. From college and seminary, after 20 years of being out, trying to make it, paying the bills, doing it again. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, why can't I be a pastor? And now I have to work in a secular field, the ground up, just trying to make ends meet. I remember once, let me tell you, I remember crying out to God, complaining, and He spoke to me powerfully. I'll tell you about that some other time, but He did. Convincing me, Lord, you know, convincing me, saying, Matt, don't worry about it. Let me tell you, when I first got into any kind of ministry, I prayed so hard. And I said to the Lord, I said, I don't care what you want me to do. I don't care when it is. I don't care where it is. I don't care what it is. It doesn't make any difference. As long as you do with me as you desire. I remember so clearly that time in my life. I must have been 20-ish. Lord, I just don't care. Do with me as you want. Whatever you want. I begged Him over and over to use me. Now, I was going to say this very often. Now, I'm not going to say it. I just begged Him. Please do that. Well, I'm going to tell you. When you beg God to be used, it won't always be easy. And He'll prep you to use you the way He wants you to be used when He wants you to be used. Sometimes it means living by faith. Sometimes it means scraping by as you're trusting Him. Sometimes it means going through things that you think, oh, I just wish I didn't have to go through this. It could be sickness. It could be health. It could be bankruptcy. It can be stress and strain in your marriage. It can be being hospitalized. All of these things I've had to go through. It could be having a menial job working on computers. Why am I here? Menial job working in you know, Word and Excel and figuring things out. Teaching software now at places. Menial jobs that's not paying a whole bunch. Not that it's menial, not any good, but why am I doing this? Not realizing that God had prepped me and was preparing me for this thing called the internet. That when it came on the scene, I'd be ready to begin it and to be carried through the early days, the early years, to the point where it is now. A full-time ministry, helping other people, paying other people so they can help provide for their families. We got people coming to our aid who see CARM as a valuable outreach, who want to reach out through CARM to expand God's kingdom and bring glory to his name. And I've had more than one say, Matt, it's not you. It's what the Lord's doing through you, Matt, and this ministry called CARM. We want to be on board. And I'm going to tell you, there's so many times I feel completely and totally blessed that God would condescend to such a degree that he would use a filthy, vile sinner like myself, who's saved by grace, and say, this is what I've got for you to do. And then give me a calling and prepare the way. I'm telling you, it's not easy, but it's good. I consider myself to be one of the most blessed people on the planet. I get to speak of Christ. I get to do it full time. I love it. I can support my family with it. I get to teach literally and touch millions, literally, with the website. It's had over 70 million page views since its inception. To be able to talk to so many people over the radio, podcasts, now in books. Praise God. Let me tell you, if you want to be used of God and all of a sudden things just don't look that great, just maybe he's prepping you for what he's got. And sometimes what he's got for you is not what you expect. You got to trust him. Got to lean on his grace. And as I like to say, trust him beyond your ability to understand. I learned how to pray that during these times. That's the praise due to the Lord Jesus Christ, his great grace. So there you go. Today is the 16th anniversary of CARM, and that's why I took the time out to talk about it. And there you go. If you want to call, want to talk about CARM or whatever? The number is 877-207-2276. Let's get to Abraham from Caldwell. Abraham, welcome to the show.
What's up?
Hey, is this the Abraham I know?
Yes. The one who always makes fun of my haircut.
Hey, how's your hair doing? Is
it's
it, you
actually
cut
doing
it?
Pretty good.
Did you get the little flip thing going away
no,
now?
Oh, yeah, yes, I did. I got rid of it.
And the girls still like you?
Of course.
They like you even better, right?
No.
Yes?
Well, I met new ones, so...
The new ones?
Yes. I went to a different school, so now I'm...
Different school?
Yes. So I'm hooked up with, you know, new...
New babes?
Exactly.
All right. That's right. That's good.
Yeah, I got a quick question
okay,
for you.
Okay, what's up?
I've talked to some people, and they believe that homosexuality is okay,
mm-hmm.
and which I know it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where exactly in the Bible it's talked about where it's not okay? Where it basically says it's a sin?
Leviticus 18:22, Romans 1:26, 27.
Okay, wait. And then Romans what?
Romans 1:26, 27.
Okay, 1:26. Okay, well, thank you.
Those are the verses. You can go right there, Leviticus 18:22.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, and you know how you said, you were talking about the CARM and how you were begging, you know, the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it say in the Bible that begging doesn't get you any further than just asking?
Well, there are times when you really implore. It's a strong request to implore
right,
the Lord
yeah.
in prayer. And, you know, I was begging God, Lord, please, I don't care what it is, just use me, do whatever you
right,
want with
yeah,
me.
I mean, I understand that, you know what I mean? So, I've begged him for things, but, you know, when my dad, when me and my dad and we're talking about the Bible, you know, we're talking about begging for prayer. You know, because I asked him if begging actually got the Lord to pay a bit more attention to you because you were begging, and he said no.
What really is perseverance in prayer.
Right,
and Jesus
right.
gave that illustration of the woman who went to the judge persistently, and finally the judge gave. So is prayer, he says. And mm-hmm. so that's what we're supposed to do, persistently pray. There are people I consistently pray for.
Right, yeah, I mean, yeah. that's what I understand.
Especially you.
Yeah?
Oh, man.
Thanks.
But I don't have that much time in the day for yeah. all the issues that you've got.
Yeah.
They're pretty big.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
I know, huh?
That's right. So I just put on a tape recorder.
Okay.
And it just played all the time.
Hey, not a bad idea.
It works. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, it's just the idea of just praying.
Yeah,
consistently. And there are times when your prayers are more intense than others.
Yeah, of course.
That's okay.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
Okay, buddy.
All right, see you later.
Okay, then we'll see you. Bye.
Yep, bye.
All right. So, there you go. Leviticus 18:22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination." And Romans 1:26-27 says this, "For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error." So there you go, Leviticus 18:22. And Romans 1:26-27. Is homosexuality okay? No. Is it a sin? Absolutely. Yeah, you know what? I was talking to my wife about this stuff and some other stuff that's kind of related. You know, there's these shows on TV where Christians get together and they talk. Or Larry King will have Christians on and they'll talk. They'll have Pearson, whatever his name is. They'll have Christians on and they talk. And these Christians too often, I haven't heard them all, I don't know all the shows, but they get these mamby-pamby answers, you know? Like where Larry King said to Joel Osteen, is Mormonism Christian? Hey, wait a minute, this right here. Wait a minute. Mormons Christians, and he said, well, in my mind they are. Now, this is on, I forgot exactly who said this. Anyway, but he said this. In my mind they are. I'd say, no, they're not. And then hopefully the guy would say, well, why do you say that? This is why I'd say this, because they teach things contrary to the scriptures. The Bible says there's only one God in all existence, and he's always been God. But Mormonism, for example, says that God came from another planet. He became a God. That's contradictory. They both can't be true. That's just the beginning of the problems. They're not Christian. If everybody said, well, what qualifies you to say so? Well, I got a master's of divinity, and been doing this for 31 years, and I'm rather knowledgeable about what the Bible says about the doctrines that are essential to the Christian faith. And I'd say, and if you want to discuss them, have me back on a show, and we'll talk about those as well. You know, it wouldn't happen. But, you know, I'm hearing these shows, and they get these guys on the air because they're big, they're popular, and they're mamby-pamby. They don't tell the truth. Now, there are some guys who will. Mark Driscoll will. I like Mark Driscoll because I don't agree with everything the dude says or how or what. He's not perfect anywhere, and he would agree with everything I said and did and everything. That's not the point. The point is this. He's got the guts to say it. But yeah, I was talking to my wife. How come I'm not on these shows? I'm not saying I'm supposed to be great or anything like that. You know, I'm like, man, you got all these wacko mamby-pamby preachers out there, and what are they saying? Oh, I just feel like Mormonism's Christian. It sounds really good. Hey, check this out. What do you think of this? What do you think of this? I don't know if you got, how much time we got? 3 minutes? 3 minutes, okay. Check this out. I'm going to read something to you. It says this. The minute that blood sacrifice was accepted, Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again. Now, I read this quote and another quote to my wife before it came to the radio station tonight. I'm saying, listen, what I did this research today on YouTube, and I watched the videos. This is what they said. I transcribed this is what they, and I'm going, and I'm just like, and she's smiling because I get on these anti-heresy rants. It makes me mad. These people are on TV. They got millions following them, and they're preaching heresy. The minute that the blood sacrifice was accepted, Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again. That is a load of crap. You wonder who said that? Before I tell you, I'm going to tell you why it's crap. Theological crap. I'm sorry, but it's bad. Jesus was not born again. Jesus is God in flesh. To be born again means you're a sinner who needs to be born again. Here's a sinner who's in trouble with God. You need to be born again, as John 3 talks about. You mean born here of the natural birth, and you're born again of the Spirit. That's what he was saying. It's for those who are lost, for those who are fallen. Being born again is for people who are sinners who need to be redeemed. That's what being born again means. The minute that blood sacrifice was accepted, Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again. Now, if someone in my church said this, sorry, we got a problem. If a guest preacher said this, I'd be saying, sorry, you cannot preach this. In the middle of his sermon, I'd stop him. This is wrong. That's heresy. Guess who said it? Joyce Myers. I don't know how to, okay. Joyce Myers said that. I watched her. That's what it says in the video. This is what we call, there's a word for this. There's a word for this. It's called heresy. It's called heresy. Bad. Now, I watched some more stuff, and I was appalled at what I was seeing. Appalled. Because she's up there doing all this psycho crap talk out of the Bible, and you ain't going to tell the devil, but he can go. And the women everywhere, listen to her standing up in applause. Yeah, that's right. We're great. We're awesome. And I'm scared for the church. Because there's so much idiocy being taught. And Christians lack so much discernment. They don't know what the truth is. And I am afraid for the church. It just doesn't know. Man, it's scary. I got more I could say. But we're out of time. I got like 30 seconds. Hey, folks, look. Would you please pray for me and pray for this ministry, that God would use it by his grace and that he'd be glorified in it. Pray for our protection and for the expansion of the CARM ministry. All right? Praise God. Hey, by his grace, we'll be back on tomorrow. I hope you have a great evening. We'll see ya.
This has been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.